In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Loving God,
I ask for a special blessing on all the priests of my diocese and their spirit. Help them to remember always that they do not work alone, but that they are intimate sacramental brotherhood under the leadership of our bishop, a ministry team for which they are all responsible. For the sake of their unified and coherent ministry, help them to remember that the ministry they do is not theirs alone, but a share in our bishop's ministry. For that reason, keep them always respectful of and obedient to his leadership. Help them to be diligent in their ministry, absorbed in it, so that their commitment may be evident and their service helpful. Inspire them to take good care of themselves, and help them be attentive to becoming more effective in their service. Show me and my brothers in formation ways to encourage our priests, those to whom we will someday be partners in service to the Church. Help them to set a good example for us in all that they do. Support our sick, retired, and absent priests with your loving care. I ask this in the name of the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ our Lord.
O Holy
and Immaculate Virgin Mary, I consecrate to you the priesthood entrusted to me by your divine Son, Jesus the great High Priest. I am all yours, and all that I have I give to you. Be my tender and loving Mother, and remind me daily that I am a beloved Son of God the Father. May your gospel guide us to the invitation of the Holy Spirit. Inspire me to be a humble servant of your Eucharistic Son, as he once again becomes incarnate in my hands. Mary, you are the model of the Church, the Bride of Christ. Help me to live a life worthy of my noble calling, to be a chaste spouse and spiritual father to the Church. Reveal the beauty of your face, so that I may be comforted in my frustrations. May I be purified and dwell within your Immaculate Heart, in union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Saint Joseph the Worker, teach me to be the man the Father wants me to be, laying down my life and sacrificing for my Bride, in the same way you care for the Holy Family. O Jesus, Divine Physician and Good Shepherd, heal me that I might heal. Lead me that I might lead all people into the love of the heart of the Trinity, where you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Mary, Unto her of us, pray for us. Mother of fair love, I look to you. Take into your hands the ribbon of my life, and see this knot of knots that keeps me bound to sin, anxiety, and hopelessness. I beg you, Mother, by your powerful intercession and long fingers of love and grace,
Undo the knots in my heart and in my life. Free me to love as Christ loves.
Oh my God, I'm heartily sorry for ever having offended you. And I detest all my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell, but most of all, because I've offended thee, my God, who art all good and deserving of all my love. I firmly resolve with the help of your grace to confess my sins, to do penance, and to amend my life. Heavenly Father, I ask you to anoint me that I may give this conference with faith, devotion, and love. I ask you not to hold my sins in the past against me, but help me to spend the rest of my life in repentance. Lord, I ask that the words I speak may be helpful to my brothers, for you are Lord now and ever and forever. Amen. Before one ever changes their spiritual practice, it's essential that they speak with their spiritual director. Once you've spoken with your spiritual director, and if you want to make a change and the spiritual director feels it's a wise thing to do, it might be a time for growth. I'm going to be talking about spiritual practice tonight, and what I want to do is give you an idea practically how this all works out and how it can help you in terms of your formation, and if the Lord is calling you to ordain ministry, how it will help you in ministry. I'd like to begin with what I would call the first principle, and that came through to me when I was doing my 30-day retreat for solemn vows. I was lucky to have Father Francis Donahue as my director. My classmate and myself were with him the first night, and he asked us a question: how do you say forever? Well, we were about 21 at the time. We kind of shrugged our shoulders like this: I don't know. And then he said to us, but you're going to be making solemn vows. That's forever. How are you going to make it forever? He realized that we didn't have a clue, so he began to try to explain to us how you do it forever. And he said, whatever you do today is a good barometer of what you're going to do tomorrow. What you do tomorrow is a good barometer of what you're going to do the day after. And that's the way it works, and that's how you do it for a lifetime. But one of the things he said is, once you break the pattern, you're in a danger zone, because the promises that you make are in jeopardy. You might be moving away from the promise. So you have to be faithful to the daily practice. Now, the prayers that we've been saying every day, many of you will probably throw this in the garbage can when you leave, and that'll be it. We did that, it's over, done, forget it. But some of you might say, praying for my presbyterate every single day is something I want to commit to. And some of you might be saying, I want to pray the five identities of priesthood to keep them in mind every day. And I want to join Pope Francis in promoting Mary the Untire of the Knots. So then, basically what happens is you might take this home. And if you take it home and you start praying it, you're going to have to pray it at least 21 days straight to begin a habit. When you get to the 22nd day, that becomes the decision day. Am I going to do this, or am I not going to do it? You might get to the point where not only are you doing it, you believe enough in it to try to get other people to do it with you. So you get the seminarians from your diocese and other seminaries also praying the prayer for the presbyterate. And you get a copy of the prayer for the priest to get the priest in your diocese praying for the presbyterate. That's where things can begin to mushroom when daily practice becomes solid in the Christian life. One of the things I've found is when you do something, it's the best determinant about what you're going to do the next day and the day after and the day after. That's how we fulfill our vows. That's how we commit to doing what God is asking us to do in the Christian life. The second principle comes from John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila. Basically, they believed that you should spend 2 hours in solitude every single day. And you might say to yourself, 2 hours? But when you stop and think about it, really what it is tiding your time to give God 10% of your day. Does God deserve 10% of your day? And do you deserve to give yourself to God 10% of the day? If you commit to doing that tithing of your day to God, and you make that part of your daily practice, certain things begin to come into place. Now, I try to commit to 2 hours of solitude every single day. But when I begin my 2 hours, I don't immediately go into mystical union with God. So I try to figure out what I need to do to spend those 2 hours to be transformative in my life, to make me more a man of the Word, and also someone that becomes more vulnerable to God, more real about myself, and more able to minister effectively in the church. So the first thing I was convinced of is what St. Benedict taught his monks, that the Psalter on a weekly basis needs to be part of your prayer. The prayer book of the Bible is the best way to learn how to pray. In the Eastern Church, this is also the commitment of monastics in the Eastern Church. In the Eastern Church, they have the Psalter divided up into 20 sections. You do 3 every day, except Sunday, you do 2. And what happens is that becomes the core of the prayer. St. Seraphim of Sarov used to read the New Testament every single week. I can't figure out how I can do the New Testament every single week. So what I do is do it every month. But I've been doing it for 5 years now, every single month, and I'm still discovering things I've never seen before in the New Testament. That, I think, is helping me to become more a man of the Word. Not only is the New Testament important, also the fathers of the church are important. And there's a little book called Drinking from the Hidden Fountain, and they have just a small section every single day, and there's themes throughout the whole year exploring the fathers of the church. Federica Matthews Green said, if you want to know how to be a disciple, you have to know how the first Christians did it. And in order to know how the first Christians did it, you have to know what the patristic teachings are. It's amazing how insightful they are and how they can give you something that will last all day in terms of a God thought to direct your day and keep you on track. The other thing that I do every day is Robert Elsberg's book, Blessed Among Us. This is brand new. It came out from Liturgical Press. Every single day, 2 saints are given to consider. Each of their biographies are very short, but there's always a saying at the end of the biography. They're not syrupy, they're very real, and one of the things that begins to happen is you enter more deeply into the communion of saints. Psalms, New Testament, the patristic writings, and the lives of the saints. I pray every day for the presbyterate. I pray every day the prayer for priests. I pray the prayer for Mary every single day. Now that is how I do my 2 hours. When I get through, sometimes I have time left over. Whenever I have time left over, I always try to do the examine. And what I do is I thank God for the insight that I got from that time with those documents. And then I try to look at what's wrong in my life. What do I need to try to commit to the next day? And ask God to help me when I begin the next day to keep that in mind and work at it seriously. Now, besides this, Mass and office, that's a whole other thing. Being with my brothers, priests, and the friars is important to me. I'm always at office, I'm always at conventual Mass, I'm always at recreation, I'm always at dinner. And whenever the diocesan priest in the area have something, I want to be there to support them. That, to me, is important. I try to go to confession every single week. John Paul II went to confession every single week, and if he needs to go to confession every single week, I sure need to go to confession every single week. Now, I do spiritual reading every day, plus the work that I'm supposed to do. Now, you might say to yourself, how do you do that? Well, one of the things is, I know I have to do it, because if I don't do it, I want to tell you about my community. There are three of us who are active. There are three great men that I feel privileged to live with. There are three retired men that I live with. One is an absolute saint. One is basically a know-it-all, and his nickname in the province is Leadhead. And listening to him can absolutely drive you crazy sometimes. We have another guy, he's in the beginnings of Alzheimer's. It's a matter all during office he burps. He burps from the time office begins to the time office ends. And it's enough to drive you crazy. We have two people that are neither retired nor functioning. And they are serious problems in the community. One is a matter, he tried to get the assistant general to do drugs with him while he was doing the visitation of our province. The assistant general went to our provincial and said, what are you going to do about this guy? The other guy, he just is mentally ill. You never know one day when you're waking up whether he's going to be a monster or he's going to be tutti frutti. You never know from one day to the next what you're going to run into. When I pray and I do the 2 hours, one of the things that happens to me is when the guy's burping next to me and I have to show him the pages in the book every single time we do the office, I say, at least this guy's here. This guy has the beginning of Alzheimer's. He smoked all of his life. He can't breathe anymore. And it's a matter that basically he's been a pit bull his entire life. And now he's trying to do the best he can with the last days that he has on the face of this earth to be a good person. When I'm in stillness and I'm able to anchor my life on Scripture, I can think good thoughts about people. And I can look at the saints in the community and be inspired by them. And I can listen to this guy who drives everybody crazy. I try to sympathize with him, and he tells me I'm a phony. And then, at the end of the day, you go to your room. And if you haven't prayed, and you've had a really bad day, you've got a computer in the room, you've got a television in the room, and it's a matter you can blow the night watching television and numb your brain, or you can turn on the computer, get some internet, get some porn, start masturbating, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a situation where you're ready to die because not only were you miserable when you went into the room, after you see what you've done, you're even more miserable. And then you listen to confessions of people who struggle with this every single day. And you say to yourself, you feel their pain every time they make their confession to you. Can't you tap in to this daily pattern of commitment to have the strength to be able to do the right thing for them, if not for yourself? And think about what has caused all these people who are involved in the porn industry, what's happening to their lives, and you're feeding into this by indulging in this. Is this what you want to say to the world? I said to the Maronite priest, I said, if all of the people who provide internet services were to give information on all the priests in the United States and their use of the internet, we'd have our third major scandal in the church. It wouldn't only be sex abuse, it wouldn't even be the abuse of money, it would be, this is how our priests spend all of their time. Now, when you practice the principles of the Word, and the Word begins to take over your soul, you're able to have the strength from God to be able to confront these things and to be able to deal with them in a way that is truly loving, a way that truly represents what Jesus is asking of us, a way that helps us to be strong when the people of God come to us and they're looking for strength from us to be able to be blessings in their lives. A lot of people tell me, I'm not hurting anybody when I do these things. But that's not true. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting the people that are tied up in this whole industry. You're hurting the body of Christ. Haven't you ever heard of the mystical body and how one part of the body affects the whole body? The more we are willing to actually tackle spiritual practice, the more we're going to be able to address the real needs of the church and our own personal needs. It's all about being real with the world in which we live, the challenges that face us. The Psalms, I can tell you right now, there are days when I'm so angry, and when I'm saying those cursing Psalms, I'm able to let the anger out of me into the Psalm and let the Psalm pray to God on my behalf to humble myself and to help me to get beyond anger and to become gentle and to be still, to be able to respond effectively to the challenges in my community and the service of the people of God. Every time I read the New Testament and see something new, it basically gives me the power to be a more powerful preacher of the Word, because the Word is not something outside me. It's something that I keep bringing inside me so that it is like leaven in me, helping me to grow into the Spirit to be able to preach effectively the Word of God. Every time I'm able to connect with the early church, I'm able to see how history has unfolded and how things that were part of the struggles of the early church, the church of the apostolic fathers, the Middle Ages, and the church of our own day, there's so many similar things that have happened over history. Who were the people that made the difference? The people who were willing to be brave enough to try to do the Jesus thing in as real a way as they possibly could. Any problem we have, God understands, and God is willing to help us with it. It's just a matter, are we going to let God in
so that God can help us? Is it too much to give God 10% of our day? That's something that the spiritual director can help us with. Are we ready for that at this time? Or do we have to move gradually in that direction? This is where the spiritual director becomes an incredible asset to help us not to throw the towel in, but to move with the Spirit as the Spirit's working in our lives, helping us to be able to grow as a man of God and to be someone who can confront power, sex, and money according to the evangelical councils and be liberated by that experience. Whatever problems we have are also gifts, because we're going to run into people who have these problems. And if we've been willing to confront them and be able to work through them and understand them, we're going to be prepared to help other people when they come to us and they ask of us to stand with them and help them to work through these different things that they're dealing with. You're also going to be able to recognize how much we really need one another. You're going to say to yourself, you know, I really can't do this without support. And I have to be someone that wants to support my brothers. That's part of the commitment. Jesus sends us out two by two. Jesus chooses presbyterates, 12 men, to start the whole thing off. Jesus is still trying to do the same thing today. But how do we enter into it? It's almost like an osmosis experience, as Teresa of Avila said, where all of a sudden the Word enters into us and helps us to understand things and be able to know where God is leading us and how the Spirit is trying to bring greater freedoms into our lives and help us to be able to do what we need to do in order to be faithful. When Father Francis told us about one day at a time, I found that you can always start over again when you're really committed. But very often, one of the things that you're also going to need is encouragement to not give up. Because sometimes there are things that happen in your life that you just feel you can't ever continue because they're so devastating. I remember a priest once telling me, there's no one that's going to hurt you more than the church. And I couldn't figure out what he was saying until I realized and seen so often how people have been hurt by the church. But it isn't the church that's hurting them. It's the people in the church who are not converted or are sick are the ones that are hurting them. The church is the hope. The church points to the kingdom of God. The church is that one light in the midst of the darkness that says Jesus Christ walked among us. The church is an incredible hope. But the church needs good men to make the message real for people. We have to be spiritual athletes. We have to work at this for the whole life that we live. When I see the priest with early Alzheimer's come in, and as soon as he walks in, he's breathing heavy every single day, and he looks over at me, please come and show me where the pages are. And I think of what Boys Town, when I was a kid, used to say, and you probably never heard of it, but every Christmas what would happen is Boys Town would send all these stickers out. And what would happen is there would be two boys in the sticker, and they were both brothers. And one brother was carrying the other brother. And the saying on the sticker was, He's not heavy, he's my brother. I guess more than anything else, that's how I wish priests saw one another. He's not heavy, he's my brother. Whether he has Alzheimer's, whether he's a broken man, whether he's a living saint, whether he is someone that drives you crazy, or he's someone that really has made incredible impacts into your local church. Whoever he is, he's your brother. Let us pray. Lord our God, for 2,000 years, the church has acquired such wonderful gifts to help the pilgrim people find their way through life, find the way to truth, find the way that leads to you, to build bridges, to be able to connect God and humanity, to be able to bring sinners back into God's love, to be good shepherds going out looking for the lost lambs, and with Christ bringing those lost lambs back to the flock, bringing people to church, to be able to experience a group of people that truly care and are willing to spend their lives to make each other's lives blessings. Lord, as we continue this retreat, and particularly in the next few days as we look at the identities of the priesthood, we ask you to help us to be able to personalize them and to be able to see where you're calling us to participate in each of the five identities of priesthood. We ask that you would help us to develop spiritual practices that would enable us to have the stillness and the fortitude to meet the challenges that life will present us with. There will be glorious days in priesthood, and there will be very difficult days in priesthood, just like your son experienced. He had glorious days of thousands of people coming and being fed. And then he also had the experience of hanging on the cross and people just looking up at him like he was the biggest joke that ever has walked the face of the earth. And what did he say? Father, forgive them, because they just don't know what they're doing. How true those words are with so many things that happen in our lives. Unless we find the perspective to empty ourselves, to embrace our baptism, and become priests and prophets and kings, people who are willing to deal with the realities of power, sex, and money, according to the evangelical councils, according to the gospel way. Lord, help us to enter more deeply into this retreat. Help it to be a blessing for this semester at St. Vincent's. Help it to be a time where all of us choose to grow and to discern in a loving way, however you are calling us to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name, for he is Lord forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.